from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we direct our attention to our gospel reading from Luke chapter 1. You may be seated. Too good to be true. I'm sure that you've all heard that phrase. I'm sure you've all used that phrase before. And there are multiple ways that we might interpret that particular phrase. Too good to be true. As we explore it in relation to our gospel reading for tonight, we focus first on Zechariah and Elizabeth. Those of you kids who did the craft this evening, you heard a little bit about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You might even have little cutouts of Zechariah and Elizabeth as well. Just for a little bit of context, the father and mother of John the Baptist, as we heard in our gospel reading this evening. And on the face of it, that phrase, too good to be true, would indicate that something is just so good that it can't possibly be true. Something that even though it was wished for, longed for, hoped for, is just too good. It's out of reach. It's beyond our reality. Zechariah and Elizabeth are described by Luke as being righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commands and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And despite being righteous and blameless, these two followers of God, Zechariah even being a priest before God, had been denied what would at those times have been seen as the ultimate blessing from the Lord. They were childless. And our text gives us no indication that they were still seeking a child. It just gives us a statement of the fact they didn't have one. They'd likely long ago given up on any hope that a blessing of a child would be theirs. Yet they had prayed for it. At least at some point they had prayed for it. And we know this because when the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah out of the blue while doing his priestly duty and serving in the temple, Gabriel tells him, "Your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John." This is news that is just too good to be true. He can't possibly have heard that angel correctly. And yet Gabriel goes on to explain, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." The joy and the gladness that this barren couple is going to experience is certainly because they're going to have a baby boy, but it's also because of who that son is going to be. Gabriel tells them that he will be great before the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This is going to be an amazing man, an amazing son. What a great pronouncement that is from God's messenger. And yet for Zechariah, it's just too good to be true. And who would blame him for only being able to utter the valid question, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." What good news this is. And all he can do is doubt that it could possibly be true. I think that's the very same reaction of our sinful nature as well. The good news of Jesus is clearly proclaimed. God has sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might be saved through him and his sacrificial life and death. But for the heart that's mired in sin, the message is simply too good to be true. Yet disbelief at the promises of God isn't the only way to react to things that seem too good to be true. Another way to look at that phrase might be to say that it's about something that's being offered to you. And I'm sure that you've all heard the phrase used in that way. That thing, whatever it is that's being offered, must not be as good as it seems. There's no way it could be. It's just too good to be true. We all know about these sorts of things. Think about that Nigerian prince who keeps sending emails to your inbox, promising that he's going to give you a share of the millions that he has. For just a little help getting that money into the country, you too can be the recipient of a great fortune. Too good to be true. Don't fall for it. Or maybe it's that television commercial that promises the $99 a month lease on that car that you've had your eye on. What they don't tell you is that to get the $99 a month lease, you've got to walk into the dealership prepared to fork over $10,000 up front. It's too good to be true. These are the earthly offers and promises which are meant to draw us in, when in fact they are too good to be true. And as long as we recognize them as such, we'll generally have one of probably two different reactions to them. We're either going to laugh in the face of their absurdity, or we're just simply going to disbelieve them. Zechariah disbelieved because it was just too much for him to comprehend that God would bless him in this amazing way. And yet God's promise to him and to his wife was, in fact, not too good to be true. It was real and solid and sure, as all of God's promises are. There is one more way that you might react when something seems too good to be true, especially when it comes as the fulfillment of God's promises to you. And we have a couple of great examples of those in Scripture. You'll likely recall the account of Abraham and Sarah, two people with whom God had forged a covenant and made a promise. And God says to Abraham regarding his wife Sarah, "I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." And what was Abraham's reaction to that? He fell on his face and he laughed. We certainly could think of that laughter as a sign that Abraham thought that this promise was too good to be true and that he didn't believe it. That's often how this passage is interpreted. Or we might see this as Abraham's mocking laughter. There's no way that this could be possible. Look at us. But Luther sees it a different way. He sees Abraham's reaction as one of great emotion and one of joy. A laughter that's filled with faith. Joy exuding from him and a laughter so great that it sends him to the ground. R-O-F-L for all of you who text, right? Rolling on the floor laughing with such great rejoicing that the heart exults and it overflows with joy. This is the proper reaction when something that God promises seems too good to be true. And then we have Mary, the mother of our Lord. She receives the greatest news of all, news that can only be described as unbelievable. But again, this news is being delivered by the messenger of the Lord. Hear how Mary hears the great promise of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary does have a brief moment of questioning about the physical impossibility of what Gabriel now is conveying to her. But her momentary hesitancy quickly turns to an acknowledgement of the enormity of the task and the blessing that she's been given. And she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She's going to carry her own Lord and Savior, and with God's help, she's up to the task. This is the perfect model of how to respond when God himself tells you something that's too good to be true. But back to Zechariah for just a moment, because I don't want to just leave him out there as the example of how not to respond when God tells you something that's too good to be true. Zechariah received his punishment for his disbelief. He spent 9 months unable to speak. But at the birth of his child, his faith and belief in the message that God had sent to him through Gabriel was evident. He did as the Lord commanded. And we too are going to find ourselves at times doubting, unable to believe the beautiful message of salvation, too stubborn to go when we're called, too tired to do what we've been asked, too busy to focus on the important things. Yet when we, like Zechariah, return and believe in the great and glorious message of salvation, first proclaimed through the mouth of John the Baptist, and then achieved by Christ, we too will be restored into a right relationship with God, who desires to lavish his promises and blessings throughout our lives. When the world tells us something that's too good to be true, we should be skeptical. We should be hesitant. We should respond with mocking laughter and with disbelief. But when God tells us something that seems too good to be true, our laughter shall be as that of Abraham, mixed with such great joy and faith that our rejoicing becomes music to the ears of God and a blessing to the world around us. And our wholehearted trust and faith in the goodness of our God should be evident in the joy that we share with the world, the joy that can only come from the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a joy that sustains us in our faith and that seeks to spread the good news to everyone we know. May that joy be yours today and throughout this entire season of waiting. For we know that when God promises it, it is not too good to be true. It's sure and it's certain, and he will keep his promises, which is why we wait with eager anticipation, because we know that our promised Savior has come, and we know that he will come again, just as he promised. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.